welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
Let me ask you to take the word of the Lord and open with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, and we'll begin reading in verse 14 in just a moment. Let me quickly set the context for you of what we're going to read. At this point in Scripture, Matthew 25, Jesus' earthly ministry is very quickly drawing to a close. In fact, if you peek ahead to chapter 26, verse 1, Jesus, the Bible says, after Jesus had finished saying these things to his disciples, he said to them, "You know that the Passover is 2 days away, and I will be arrested and I will be handed over to be crucified." So this that we're going to look at today is 2 days before the arrest and the crucifixion of Jesus. I would imagine that these words Jesus speaks at that moment in time are very important words. In chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, giving them, if you will, some last-minute instructions. And basically, the context of 24 and 25 is this. Jesus is telling his disciples, "Listen up, fellas, I'm going away, but I'm going to come back. And here is how I want you to conduct yourselves while I'm gone." Are you tracking with this? Very important stuff. Jesus says, "I'm going away, but I am going to come back, and in between those two events, I want to share with you some vitally important things on how you need to conduct yourself while I'm gone, what I expect of you while you're gone, what I want you to accomplish while I'm gone." And I would say that these truths are just as important to us today as they were when Christ spoke them so many years ago. Now, the parable of the talents that we're going to look at this morning, as we're continuing through this summer series looking at the words of Jesus, the most important words ever spoken in all of history. Nothing even comes close. The words in Shakespeare's plays, Abraham Lincoln's great speeches, nothing in history comes close to the words of Jesus in their vital importance to speak truth into our lives and to give us direction for our lives. This parable today, the parable of the talents, is, I would venture to say, second only to proclaiming the gospel to those who don't know Christ. I believe this is probably the second most important thing I could ever preach. Now, that's quite a statement. I've never preached on the parable of the talents before. I've wanted to for a long time, but I never have. I believe that as far as Christians are concerned, for us to understand what Christ wants, how we are to live our lives here and now, the parable of the talents presents to us some of the most important principles in all of life. Now, this parable begins in Matthew 25, verse 14, but the context, and I think the importance of these words, is really captured in verse 13. So let's begin reading there. These are the words of our Lord. Now, he's just finished telling them, "I'm going away," and he says this in 25:13. "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour that I'll return." Now, here we go with this parable of the talents. He says, he's talking about the kingdom of God. He says, again, "It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with the few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. The master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." If you mark in your Bibles, and I hope that you do, would you take a pen and mark the phrase at the very end of verse 18, "He hid his master's money." He hid his master's money. I am well aware that 1 minute after I die, I will know exactly how I should have lived my life. 1 minute after I die, I will know exactly how I should have lived my life. And what I desire to do is to discover that now, so that I can go ahead and live my life that way. Now, in this amazing passage of Scripture, the Lord gives some powerful, profound, vitally important insights into how we should live our lives. He tells a story to the disciples, as he often did, to illustrate a higher truth, and he shares with them these life-changing principles that he wants them to get, and he wants us to get. He said, "A man called in his servants and he said to them, 'I'm going on a long journey. Before I go, I am going to entrust you with my property.'" Don't miss that. It's not our property. We talked about this last week. Nothing we have belongs to us. Nothing we have. The money in your pocket, your children, your cars, your job, none of that is ours. He said, "I'm going away and I'm going to entrust you with my possessions. And when I come back," here's the key, "I want to see what you've done with what I've given you." To one servant, he gave 5 talents. To another servant, he gave 2 talents. And to another servant, he gave 1 talent, each according to his ability. Now, let me just insert this disclaimer real quickly. I should have said this at the beginning. There is no way we'll be able to unpack all of this in one sermon. So I'm just going to really touch the surface of this, and I encourage you to go and study this some more on your own. There are so many truths in this. It's one of those sermons that I almost feel worse bringing the sermon than not bringing it at all, because I don't want to do injustice to it and leave out so many important things. We're just going to touch on a few today. Now, a talent in this story is money. Jesus was using money as an example. But what we don't need to miss is that this parable is not just talking about money. He's using money to illustrate our responsibility to correctly handle and put into use all of the things that He has entrusted to us in our lifetime. Your house, your cars, your family, your job, your abilities, your time, and yes, your money. Verse 15, the last part of verse 15 says, he entrusted it to his servants, and then he went on his journey. And while he's gone, this story begins to unfold, and we begin to see what happens. Verse 16 says, the man who had received 5 talents went out at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. The one who received 5 made 5 more. Now he has 10. He's got a 100% increase. The one who received 2 gained 2 more. He has 4. Also a 100% increase. But the man who received 1 dug a hole and buried it in the ground. Now, verse 19, this is where I want to sort of hurry through that first part. This is where I want to begin to focus. Verse 19, you can sort of hear the dramatic music beginning to play. Because verse 19 says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned. And in light of that, I want us to consider 3 things today. 3 things. Number 1, I want us to consider the return of our Lord. The return of our Lord. Folks, I want to tell you something. He's coming again. He's coming again. And we ought to live our lives every day remembering that our Lord is coming again. And we shouldn't just make a factual thing of it. It ought to impact every moment of our lives, every decision we make, every word that we speak, knowing that Jesus is coming again. The Bible says we should go even further than that, not just a factual thing, not just allow it to affect our choices and our actions, but we should actually long for His appearing. I wonder how many of us who are busy in life really long for His appearing. I'll tell you what, I'll just be totally honest with you. Until the time I was about 35 years old, somewhere in there, I have to tell you truthfully, I didn't long for His appearing because I had so many plans. You with me? I had so many things in my day planner that I wanted to accomplish in life. So many things I wanted to do. I truly, even as a follower of Christ, I didn't long for His appearing. But here's what you need to know. Now that another 10 or 12 years since then have gone by, and those of you who are probably past 40 is kind of that turning point, 45, getting close to 50, life starts to look very different, doesn't it, folks? And I want to tell you something. I now long for His appearing. I long for it. Oh, there's still plenty of things I want to do in life. I long to continue to watch my children grow up and be a part of their life and share in the joy of that and their marriage and their families and all of those wonderful things. I long to do all of those things, but I'll tell you, the older I get, the more I see that this life down here is a circus. And it's getting crazier and crazier by the day. I truly long for His appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Paul wrote these words, and he said, now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. Yours may say, for all who have loved his appearing. The word there means to eagerly anticipate. Sort of to get up every morning, you know, when you've ordered that really cool gadget that you can't wait to get, and you run out to the mailbox every day. Ah, it's not there today. Maybe tomorrow. It's that eagerness. We need to know that there is going to be a crown of righteousness given to those who live in this world longing for his appearing. Are we going to get that crown? I would love to. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the things of this life and lose sight that Jesus is coming again. The things of this world call so loudly for our attention, don't they, church? So loudly. That we get caught up in the busyness of life and we sometimes just forget Jesus is coming again. I am told that 320 times in the 27 books of the New Testament, a reference is made to the second coming of Christ. 320 times. That would be like driving down a road 27 miles long and seeing 320 billboards along the way, about 12 every mile, saying, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. That's the urgency of this, the importance of this. Jesus said, I am going away, but you need to know I'm coming again. And I know with even recent events in the news, back to, what was it, May 21st? You know, this is nothing new. This has been going on for years. I remember it my entire life. People saying he's coming on such and such a date. And this one, I believe, gained more worldwide attention than any I've ever seen in the past. And what happens when May 21st comes and goes, and we all wake up on the 22nd, two dangerous things happen. One is the world once again scoffs at us idiotic believers. Forget about laughing at us. They're laughing at our Savior. But here's the second danger that happens with something like that. You and I wake up the next morning and we think, well, here we go again. Is he ever going to come back? And it can cause a complacency to settle in upon us and go, well, I've been hearing this since I was a kid. And we lose sight of the fact that no matter what man says, Jesus said, I'm coming again. Church, I want to tell you, he is coming again. And whether he comes when we're alive or whether he comes after we're dead, the truth of the matter is, all of us are still going to stand before him and give an account of our lives. Either way, we don't miss that. And that brings me to the second point. Not only do I want us to see the return of our Lord, I want us to consider the reward of the faithful servants. Verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned, and did you catch this? And settled accounts with them. Church, I want to remind you this morning, a day of reckoning is coming for all of us. And we see in these final two points in this message today that day of reckoning can either be a day of joy or it can be a day of terror. But Christ is going to settle accounts with us. Verse 20. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Verse 22. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, watch these words now. One had 5, one had 2. In our eyes, the guy with 5 is better than the guy with 2. He's more important. The exact same praise, word for word, is given to this man who had fewer talents, but was responsible with them. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. They both received the same praise from their Lord. They both received the same reward, because our rewards are not given to us based on the amount that we've had. The rewards are given to us based on our faithfulness with what we've had. We need to know something. And honestly, I'll tell you, I have to remind myself of this sometimes, that the Lord longs to reward those who are faithful to Him. He longs for that day to reward us. You know, sometimes, I know the last 2 weeks we've had some really heavy, hard messages in here. And I'm surprised anybody's back today after the last 2 weeks. I was getting kind of nervous. I was like, well, I might be preaching to that column right there. And, you know, thank you for that. Last 2 weeks have been hard messages to hear, but so important. But, you know, even with that, we need to know Jesus wants to reward us. He truly, we see this in Scripture, He longs to give us these rewards. But it all depends on what we're doing with what He has already given us today. Paul again wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:12, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day, capital D, we need to be aware of that day, the day will bring it to light. It will be, the it being what we've done with what God has given us, it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. I tried so hard to find this, and I guess it's just out of print or something, but years ago when I was younger, I saw a painting someone did of this moment. It was of a house completely engulfed in flames. And you just got the sense by looking at this painting that the house was about to collapse at any moment. And out through the front door comes running this man out of this burning house. And part of his shirt was on fire, and you could see his hair was singed. And he was sort of frozen like this, bursting out of that burning house, escaping by the skin of his teeth. Jesus said, when it's all said and done, and we stand before Him, there are going to be some of His followers who escape by the skin of their teeth. They've just barely coasted through this Christian life and barely stepped sort of into heaven, but all the things they've lived for in this life are going to be burned in the fire. There will be nothing left, and they're going to escape as one running from the flames. Folks, is that how you and I want to begin eternity with our Savior? Oh, man. I don't want that to be true of my life. To get to the end and see that all the things I've worked for, all the things I've invested in, the way that I've perhaps mishandled the abilities and the talents and the money and the time that God has entrusted to me, that I've wasted it, and now I get into heaven, if you will, by the skin of my teeth. I long to hear the words that Jesus spoke in this parable. Do you long to hear? Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. I long to hear those words. It's very clear, not only that the Lord is coming, but He is going to reward those who have been faithful to Him. And we, in some sense that I can't even comprehend, are going to rule and reign with Him. Can you imagine such a thing? The reward of the faithful servants. Thirdly, I want to close with this point. The rebuke of the unfaithful servant. Verse 24. The man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, Here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew, this is sort of Jesus is saying, is that what you think of me? You think I'm a hard, cruel master? Is that the picture you have of me? And he says, so if you thought that I was a cruel man, if you thought that I harvested where I'd not sown and gathered where I'd not scattered seed, in other words, I'm stealing stuff from everybody else, if you think that's the kind of man that I am, the kind of master that I am, verse 27, then you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. As I study this passage of Scripture, there's something that at first pass really bugs me, and I want to ask you this question. In all seriousness, what did this guy do wrong? What did he do wrong? He didn't murder anybody. He didn't destroy anybody's home. He didn't go out and rob a bank. He didn't commit adultery. He didn't commit any kind of horrible crime. What in the world did he do wrong to receive this kind of rebuke? I mean, he at least gave the Lord back what the Lord gave to him. He didn't lose it. What's wrong with this guy? Well, we don't understand. We'll never understand that until we begin to explore some of the other words of Jesus, and we see this pattern in his stories that the villains in the stories of Jesus were not the people who went out and did terrible things wrong. They're the people who had opportunity to do great things right and didn't do it. For example, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Have you ever noticed the villains in those in that story, the ones who received this sort of scourging words of Jesus, the villains in that story were not the guys who robbed the man and beat him up and left him on the side of the road half dead. They weren't the villains in the story. The villains in the story were the religious people who passed by and had an opportunity to do good and they didn't do it. And we begin to see in the stories of Jesus that the people who are going to be judged so severely by him are the ones who had opportunities in their hands and wasted them. Here's a man entrusted with one talent, and his sin was that he chose to do nothing with it. His master wasn't angry because he didn't turn one talent into 500 talents. His master was angry and rebuked the servant because he did nothing with what he had been given. One of these days, folks, we're going to stand before the Lord and we are going to give an accounting of what we've done with what he has placed in our hands. And I will tell you this, I can't prove this from Scripture, so don't go make a new doctrine out of this. Don't go start a new church over this, some new denomination. But in studying the Scriptures and seeing every time a person came into the presence of the Holy Lord, whether it was Isaiah or Jeremiah or John through a vision, those people fell on their face like a dead man in the presence of utter holiness. And I truly believe that when we stand before the Lord, we are going to weep when we think about the opportunities we had for him and wasted. I believe we're going to weep. Even if we've been faithful in this life, even if we hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, I truly believe there's going to be a moment where we stand before him and we see the one who gave his life for us and we'll suddenly be overwhelmed with a sense of sadness. Oh, Lord, I've wasted so many opportunities. I let so many things slip by. Lord, I mishandled that moment you gave me. I mishandled that money you gave me. God, what I could have done for you, and I didn't. I had a small taste of this just a little over a week ago. For the sake of the recording, I know this is going out other places. I won't give any details for the sake of others, but that email I sent to you about a week ago, sharing with you an opportunity that I felt like I had missed to truly share Christ with somebody. And it's too late. I know I'm not responsible for anybody else's salvation, but you see, even with that in mind, I'm telling you, the missed opportunities, the time, the talent, the encounters that we've had along the way that we've wasted, I don't believe we're going to be standing before our Lord on that day, smacking our chewing gum and laughing and giving Him a high five. I think we're going to be weeping. Dr. Lee Robison, a man who served Christ faithfully for so many years, when he was 95 years old, he was at the very end of his life, and one of the men who he had discipled along the way came to see him, and he later shared this story with us, and he and his wife went to see Dr. Robison, and he was talking to him, and he said, Dr. Robison, at this point in your life, what's going on? And Dr. Robison said, well, at this point in my life, I'm living off the memories of my life. And I'll tell you, the things that God did through this man are staggering. And this younger man said to him, well, exactly what are your thoughts as you think back on your life? And Dr. Robison said this, I'm thinking that I should have had more faith in God. And the young man very quickly said, oh, no, sir. Think about all the things that God has done through your life, the way He's used you, the people He's impacted. And Robison said, yes, I hear that, and I know that. But I wish I had had more faith in God. Oh, but look at all the things God did. Yes, I know that. Still, I could have done more. I should have done more. I missed opportunities. Someone might say, well, you know, I don't have as much as he does or she does. And what I would ask you is, what are you doing with what you do have? I've heard people say, well, if I had $1 million, boy, what I could do for God's kingdom. What are you doing with the $10 you do have? Man, if I had more time, wow, I'd really serve the Lord. No, you wouldn't. If I had more money, I'd start giving to the Lord. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Because at the heart of this parable, the key principle is, if we're not being faithful with the little we already have, we will never be faithful with any more with what we don't have. This is not how much you've been given. It's what you're doing with it today. Someone once said, if you can't be faithful where you are, you won't be faithful where you ain't. My apologies to all you English majors. I know that's like nails on a chalkboard to you. But we're in the South, and I think it's legal. I think we can get away with that. If you can't be faithful where you are, church, you won't be faithful where you ain't. Don't make the mistake of living your life saying, one day, I'm going to serve God. Because you won't. One day, I'm going to give it all to Him, because you won't. The question is, and the only question is, what are you doing with what God has already given you? You say, well, I don't have much. I mean, it's not much. My time, my talents, my money, whatever. This is not much at all. It's not going to make a difference. No, you're missing the point. Are you being faithful with the few things you have? College students, high school students, are you being faithful with the things that God has already given to you? Because if you say, well, one day I'll start giving to the Lord's work, one day I'll invest my time for Him, I'm telling you, today is the only day you have to do that. This is a key principle, church, to the whole Christian life. This right here. And man, I wish we could unpack this more. But this principle covers all of our Christian life. Jesus is saying, if you are faithful in the small things, I will take you on to greater things. Verses 21 and 23, we see this. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. We need to know that God will never lead us onto greater opportunities until we have proven faithful with the opportunities He has given us today. Don't we use the same principle for our children, parents? We say to them, if you're faithful in this area, it would thrill my heart to give you even more freedom in this area. If you're able to keep your 10 o'clock curfew, then I'll be more than happy to give you a 10:30 curfew. It's the same principle we use in raising our own children. If you're faithful in the small things, God will entrust you with greater things. My question for you as we wind this down is this. Are you being faithful right now with whatever God has entrusted to you? Or are you just planning on being faithful someday? I just want to tell you frankly, God doesn't care what you're planning on doing for Him 10 years from now. God's not impressed by your big plans to serve Him 5 years from now. He wants to know, are you being faithful where you are? Are there any opportunities that God has placed before you that you're going, that ain't for me, I don't want to do that? I had a great opportunity week before last, to meet with a young man I didn't know. Somebody referred him to me. He's in the business world, and God's tugging on his heart for pastoring, and kind of a similar story to mine. And I had a great opportunity to sit down with him, a guy named Jay, just a really, really great guy. And long story short, you know, so he said, well, Phil, what are the steps that I need to take in order to get from where I am today to where I believe God wants me to be? And I said, well, tell me some things you're doing right now. And he almost embarrassingly shared, in most people's eyes, I guess, some small things, some small areas where he's serving the Lord and being faithful. And I said to him, those are the steps. And he was like, well, I mean, is there, you know, he was looking for something bigger. Is there something, I mean, how does this work? How do I get from here to there? I said, you get from here to there by doing exactly what you're doing. You're being faithful in some of these small areas, some of them that nobody even sees. That is how God will get you from here to there, being faithful in the small things. I look at what God has called me to do here, standing up here Sunday after Sunday and teaching His Word. And I sometimes think, how in the world did I get here? For a guy who dropped out of a public speaking class at the end of the first week and said, I will never do that again as long as I live. Now I'm teaching a church. How did that happen? You know, what was I smoking to make, you know, to I must be insane. I would never have chosen this. I mean, this is, you know, not in my wildest dreams. And I look back and I see that it wasn't a big decision that took me from the business world to standing here before you today. There was no huge, major decision. You know what it was? It was tiny steps of faithfulness along the way. That's what it was. I didn't start out preaching to a church. I started out teaching serving in a little kid's Sunday school class with my wife because she made me do it. And some of you men, you know, God speaks to you through your wife. I'm telling you. And years and years and years ago, 20-something years ago, Sandy said, Phil, you are helping me in this class. I'm like, I ain't helping you with that class. You can forget it. I'm not doing that. I was scared to be around kids. We didn't even have kids at the time. And so there I found myself every Sunday wiping snotty noses and helping kids go to the bathroom and all this. I'm like, what am I doing here? But you know what? God began to speak to my heart and say, this is how it starts. This is how you prove your faithfulness to me. Phil, you want to do something for my kingdom? It starts in a place where nobody sees. When we started this church, Sandy and I came over here, and the kids came over here every Saturday and cleaned this whole place, scrubbed the toilets, cleaned the bathroom floors. And it was a joy for me to do that. Why? Because I had an opportunity to show my faithfulness to my Savior in a way that nobody saw. So I ask you this morning as we close, do you want your life to truly impact others for His kingdom? You want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? It starts with where you are and what you have right now. Are there any opportunities God has put before you that you're saying, "Nope," like I did years ago, "Nope, not going to do that"? Because God will never lead you on to the next place until you've been faithful where you are. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful to You for opening my eyes to this principle so many years ago. In fact, Lord, back around the time when I took that first scary step to serve in that little kid's Sunday school class, and God, You began to show me that You're looking for faithfulness in the small things, not the big things. And God, I just pray for anyone here today who doesn't really see that they have had a divine investment made into them from You, and that You have such amazing things waiting for them if they would just take the small thing that You've already given them and be faithful with it. God, we long to be faithful people in the small things. I pray, Father, that You would help us by Your Holy Spirit. Help us be that kind of people. People who are truly faithful in the small things. We long one day to hear You say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your prayers and financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by mail, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.